Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see.
I will look up, for there is none above you.
What will you do with him? Look up to him.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Looking Up Show. My name is Danny, and I am joined today by a special guest, very special guest, Harley. Welcome to the Looking Up Show.
Thank you, Danny. I'm sorry to be a poor fill-in for our regular, your regular partner, Sharissa, but she's off on a very important, mission of a prayer conference.
So. That's right. She's doing the final touches to our prayer conference, which I'll be going to beginning tomorrow. Will you be there as well, Harley?
I unfortunately will not be able to make it. But I'm glad that you were able to invite me along. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, Sharissa, she's unable to be here today because tomorrow the prayer conference begins there at Stewart's Point. We've been looking forward to it all year since our prayer conference was announced. And over 800 people, Harley.
Praise God.
Are going to be attending. So this is like the record of records.
Praise God.
So praise the Lord for that. So
really wish I could be there, but other commitments.
Yes, I know.
But I will still be praying.
I know what it's like. Now, Harley, you're pastoring at the moment. You've just started pastoring here in North New South
Wales.
That's right.
I have three roles that I'm currently operating in. I'm pastoring at the Warners Bay Seventh Adventist Church here in North New South Wales Conference. Warners Bay is in a suburb of Newcastle. I'm also the Literature Ministries Coordinator for the North New South Wales Conference, so helping all of the literature evangelists across the North New South Wales region. And supporting them and encouraging them in their outreaches as they spread the gospel in their communities through books and other means. And also I'm spending some time one day a week down at Sydney at the big office, working at the South Pacific Division office there in the role of Youth Rush specifically, encouraging and promoting young people being involved with literature evangelism.
Wow, so you're a busy bee.
Busy bee.
So not much time to get yourself into too much mischief.
No.
Because we know what young people can be like. Now, Harley, as you can tell by his voice, is a lot younger than this old horse that's here today leading the charge. But yeah, so Harley's, not to mention, he's married and he's got a couple of kids or one kid?
Yeah, two boys.
Two boys. Oh, man, alive.
2-year-old named Montgomery and a 7-month-old named Lincoln.
Wow, talk about multitasking. You have got it all. So, Harley, great to have you. And by the way,
my wife is... She's amazing.
Our wives are amazing. Praise the Lord for the wife. Adam, God knew that Adam needed help, serious help. I mean, being a guy, you know, God knew that.
Absolutely.
So he created Eve. Praise the Lord for women. And this is Harley, whose surname is Southwell.
Yes.
So would that have any connection to our mate Shell? And Lyle, who's well known to our listeners.
Yes. So I'm part of the Southwell clan, and so the Faith FM famous Southwell clan.
I love it. So, folk, there you go, mate. We only bring the best here on the Looking Up Show. And of course, we got our mate Rochelle.
Hello, everyone.
How you going, Rochelle?
Good. Doing good.
Oh, praise the Lord. So you're a bit nervous about these two loose cannons. Well, at least one. We don't know about Harley. Harley looks pretty normal.
You're never sure how it's going to go.
With the Southwell. You're never quite sure whether it's going to go north or south. Excuse the pun. That's like a really bad one. Really bad one. Well, hey, it's February 26th. February 26th. Can you believe it? The last Wednesday in February and 2 months are down. This year is just flying by. Just a couple of things, folk. Want to encourage you to text us with any comments, with any questions, any prayer requests, Bible study requests. If you have a Bible study request, you want to learn more about Scripture after the things that you're hearing, you want to learn more, we'll hook you up with someone where you live, anywhere in Australia. We know we've got people all around Australia listening. Glad to have you on board. There's people in New Zealand that are listening. There are people in India listening.
Wow.
I was there for a couple of weeks not so long ago, and I bumped into some great mates. And Prabhu, if you're listening, I told Prabhu I would give him a big shout out once again. Prabhu, top bloke. He helped us with our itinerary there. DPT Travels. He's got a little business, a little family business. They provide transport for people. So if anyone's going to India, this is free advertising for our Looking Up listeners. Tell them that Danny sent you and you might get a 10% discount.
Oh, wow.
So, Prabhu, did you hear that? I'm offering a 10% discount.
Does Prabhu know about this?
No, he doesn't know about this, but he knows about this right now. So offer a 10% discount if they will tell you about the Looking Up Show and that Danny sent them. So anyway, DPT Travels, if you're anywhere in the southern part of India, you're more than welcome to connect with them. And Prabhu will look after you like a family member. We've also got We've also got a book offer. Once again, oh, this is one of my favorite books. I was reading this book on the plane. And I'm sure you've read it, The Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, The True Story of Desmond Doss.
That's right.
It's inspiring. It's inspiring. So it's an abridged sharing book edition. And how many of these have we got to give away, Rochelle? What does it say there? It says 16 copies. Well, I just need to read the screen. That's what Sharissa normally does, and she's pretty good at it. So 16 copies to give away. We're going to give the code word in about two segments from now. So listen to the code word. Text that in to 0488817624. That's our looking up number, 0488817624. So be ready to type the code word in, and we'll get that book to you. You don't want to miss out on this. This is absolutely inspiring. So we've got a lot today. Our mate Harley's going to open up to us the X-Files. The X-Files such as you have not heard before. First time on the Looking Up Show, we're going to go deep into the X-Files with current events and Bible prophecy. But in the meantime, folk, sit back before we get into some current world events in connection with Bible prophecy. We're going to listen to this beautiful song, No More Night. Oh, I love this song. No More Night, Heritage Singers. Enjoy.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new. That day, gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternity. Never crying again, and praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen nations bow down to see. The only sound is the praises to Christ the King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know no more night.
You were listening to No More Night by the Heritage Singers. And whenever I hear this song and I play it from time to time, it is a very special song because it reminds me of the days after my mother passed away from cancer at the end of 2019. And I played this song on a regular basis. Just the words are just so powerful. You know, no more night, you know, no more pain, mm-hmm. no more tears, no more separation,
Harley. That's what we're looking up for.
That's what we're looking up for, exactly. That's what the Looking Up show is all about, just encouraging each and every listener to be looking up because we believe Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And today we're going to give more demonstration to that reality through
right.
what you're going to be sharing from yep. the X-Files.
That's right.
And elsewhere. Now people are like, the X-Files. Wow, you're going to have to stay tuned,
that's
folks.
Right. Stay tuned.
You're going to have to stay tuned. We're going to deal with them in the last three sections of this program today. The first two, we're going to look at current events and Bible prophecy, which a lot of it will tie into what you're sharing mm-hmm. With us. But before any of that, I do want to give another plug. I failed to give a plug to a listener that I connected with who doesn't live that far away from here, Eugene. So if you're listening, Eugene, great to have you on board. I'm looking forward to bumping into catching up with Eugene in person very soon. So he's an avid Looking Up and Faith FM listener. He loves this network, as many do right across the country, as well as beyond the shores of this great Southland. So I want to give you a big welcome. And if anyone's listening for the very first time, big welcome to you and great to have you on board. And, you know, whoever has invited you or given you the tip-off to come to this program, we praise the Lord for that. Or if you've stumbled across this station, praise God for that. However you've come in contact with Faith FM, we praise God for that. There are many really good programs on Faith FM, extremely good programs that air 24/7. There is one excellent program I like to give a plug to each and every week. I'm not sure, Rochelle, if you tune into to this one, but it's well worth listening to. It's The Perfect Storm. The Perfect Storm, it's hosted by Kyle, Justin, and a guy called Phil. It comes out of the nation's capital. Uh-huh. So it's got to be good, you yep. know, out of Canberra, out of the nation's capital. They've got their
Can
studio
anything
there.
Anything good come out of Canberra?
maybe this is the only program. I'm kind of one of their biggest fans. So I always tune in each week and just hear how, you know, their take on current events and Bible prophecy. So that's The Perfect Storm. You can also watch it on YouTube. The Faith FM YouTube site has their programs each and every week. So if you want to tune into the YouTube or Faith FM, or as a podcast, just go to the podcasts and you can listen to all the previous Looking Up programs as well as any other program on the website or just download the app. Even better still, do you have the app, Harley?
Do I have the Faith FM app? Yeah, I have the Faith FM app.
It's the only way to go, isn't it, Rochelle? The Faith FM app.
It's not the only way to go.
No,
you can listen
no,
to it on the radio, but
it's the best way to
it's
go.
It's the best way. It's the most reliable because you never go out into a dead area where you don't hear Faith FM.
Exactly.
You know, as long as you've got mobile phone reception, and you plan it off your app,
exactly.
You're good to go.
And good news, folks, good news that they are updating the app.
Uh-huh.
They are updating the app, so it's going to be bigger and better.
Awesome.
When it comes out, round two, version two. So anyway, we'll inform you of that, so you'll be able to, upload the new app when that comes out. So without any further ado, just to remind you of our giveaway, it's Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, this incredible true story of Desmond Doss. We've got 16 copies, and
you know,
we want to give that away.
Desmond Doss is a personal hero of mine. I read his story when I was a young man, and he's so inspiring. I've made board game scenarios about him. I've done all kinds of stuff. I've also written a poem about him. Do you want to hear
written
my poem?
Let's hear the poem. Do we want to hear the poem, Rochelle? Yeah, we do. Rochelle's big smile. Here we go. Here we go. Drum roll. Where's the drum roll, Rochelle? Where's the drum roll? Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. Fire away.
All right. Is this what Jesus would look like on a battlefield? In this hell on earth where destinies were sealed, he would be healing the sick and saving the lost. We would see him bearing his cross at any cost. Lord, give me just one more, he prayed, that I might heal, that I might save. No gun I'll touch, no life I'll take. Through darkest night, my vow won't break.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. Two stanzas. So, and you can always add to that, can't
you? That's right.
It's very, very powerful. So, as you would have picked up in the poem, this is the story of Desmond Doss. If you've never heard of Desmond Doss, a movie was made by Mel Gibson. called Hacksaw Ridge a few years ago in connection with this true story. And so it's just one of the most amazing true stories from World War II of an individual who did not want to carry a gun, but he only wanted to carry Jesus and his love into battle as a medic.
In World War II, in some of the fiercest fighting of the war.
Absolutely.
Just insane. One of the most inspiring stories.
Absolutely. I was reading this book, like I said, on the plane, and I gave away this book to some folk on the plane that I bumped into, and I said, you've got to read this. This will really inspire you. So anyway, Hero of Hacksaw Ridge. In the next segment, we're going to be giving the code word. So stay tuned. The number is 0488 17624. That's 0488 17624. In case you missed it and you've just joined us, we've got our special guest today, Harley Southwell. Yes, he is the son of the famous Shell and Lyle Southwell. So one of two boys. What's your brother's name?
Emerson.
Emerson's the other one. Are you older or younger?
I'm older.
You're older, okay.
Yeah.
He's also got one or two kids, hasn't he?
That's right. Yep.
Having one or two?
Two.
Two.
Girls. So two girls, I got two boys.
Oh, have mercy.
Perfectly balanced.
Oh, perfectly balanced, as you would expect the Southwells to be. Not neither left nor right, but perfectly in the middle. Love it, love it, love it, love it. All right. So let's take a look at what's making headlines across the world. Now, we always begin with what's happening in the United States of America. Lyle, I was going to call you. As long as I don't call you liar, it's all good, Lyle. Harley, we
whoever you are,
yeah. we begin in the United States of America because we've discovered over and over again, and our regular listeners would know this off by heart, that the United States is the epicenter of end time Bible prophecy. According to the Book of Revelation, chapter 13, there we have this power that the Bible describes that begins lamb-like, it begins Christ-like, which is what the United States still is. We praise God for that. You know, the separation of church and state, religious liberty, religious freedoms, and so forth. But it will one day change to speak like a dragon.
I'm actually, might I push back a little bit on that?
Oh, you may. You may do whatever you want to.
When you read the passage, it actually says, and this is how our original pioneers understood this as well. It says this beast looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon. It doesn't that he starts out like a lamb and becomes a dragon. It's always been from the very beginning a lamb dragon combination.
Mm.
And so our original pioneers looked around at the United States at the time. Even this is in the 1860s, early 1800s, and were like, this country claims to be Christian, but through its action is actually dragon-like. Through its words, is actually dragon-like. And what's interesting is that our language changed around this, around the 1950s, when it was deemed un-American during the Cold War to preach it this way. And we started preaching, it will become like a dragon in the future, rather than being dragon at the very time. You know, and our Adventist pioneers were looking at things like slavery, the genocide of the Native Americans, and treatment of Native Americans, the wars of conquest in Mexico, and things like this. And they're saying, how can we be doing these things and be a Christian nation that we're claiming to be? Also, religious persecution of people who kept the Sabbath, and things like that as well.
Are you talking about this is like 1776, July 4, you're talking about the colonial period?
I'm talking like this is when our pioneers were sitting down and looking at the Bible prophecies, and they were coming to an unexpected conclusion that the second beast in Revelation 13 is the United States. This was around the time of like the 1840s to 1880s.
Well, John Nevins Andrews, according to my understanding, he was the first one to identify this lamb-like beast.
That's right.
As the United States of America.
That's
in the 1850s, 1858.
I think it was, 1850s. 1850s is when that happened.
Yeah.
And then it was further affirmed all the way through that time period. And even J.N. Andrews went to the U.S. Congress and protested against the passing of national Sunday laws that were being levied against the Sabbath-keeping denominations such as Seventh-day Adventists, Seventh-day Baptists, and people at the time. And through his lobbying was actually able to secure some time in that space. But we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But it's just interesting, something I noticed is that when you read their stuff back in the day, they're saying it's a lamb that speaks like a dragon. And then around the 1850s, we change and start saying it starts like a lamb and becomes like a dragon.
Mm.
Whereas that's actually – the Bible doesn't say
so
that.
So it's a very interesting composite beast.
That's
you
right.
You could say like, like in Revelation 13 verse 1, you've got this composite beast, you know, that is dragon-like, bear, lion, leopard, you know, all in one.
That's right. So, composite beast, the second beast is a composite beast of a lamb and a dragon.
So that's very deceptive.
Yeah.
Because it's neither – this way and all that way, but it's a kind of combo.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, very interesting because you've got these two horns that have generally been understood as the separation of church and state, you know, a government without a king and a church without a pope, which is how the old world was formed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these two horns where it says horns like a lamb. So the horns are the are lamb-like that are identified in that passage. Mm-hmm. Not so much this creature.
We don't know what the rest of the beast
looks
like.
No, we don't. So that's really fascinating. Anyway, so
and certainly, I'm American, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's not be accused of being anti-American.
I was going to say the accent kind of gives you away. Did you spend some time over there?
If you've heard my mum, she's got the accent, and I just picked it up from her, even though I spent the vast majority, I was born here, I've spent the vast majority of my life living
hanging
here.
Around your mum for so long.
I was
so
recently
long.
There, like, at the end of last year, and so that was the last time I've been back for
can
a while.
Can they tell that you're not true blue?
Yeah, American. When I'm over there, everyone tells me I have an Australian accent. When I'm over here, everyone tells me I have an American accent.
Well,
so,
there you go. Yeah. So you're kind of this composite.
I'm the composite beast.
The composite beast of Revelation 13. We have him here in the studio, folk. All right, enough of that. All right, so anyway, you're not pushing back on the United States of America
being
this power.
That's right.
Epicenter of Bible prophecy.
It's just the slight language
that's
adjustment.
That's right. The language adjustment.
Of.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. So anyway, all right. So obviously there's been a lot happening there in Washington. Once again, you know, the United States is front and center when it comes to politics. We've got, you know, this great angst now, especially from the left of, you know, the United States or the Trump administration drawing closer to Russia. They can't believe it. They're like, you know, pulling away from Europe and its allies and Ukraine and this whole thing. So that's really interesting. We've got, you know, negotiations being taken place by the United States in connection with, you know, these minerals that they're looking to receive or do this deal with Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things going on, which is telling us that the United States is flexing its muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's political muscle and more. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting because there's been this understanding for the last, ever since the end of the Cold War, that the United States is the global superpower. And now you have China and you have Russia that are kind of like there, but they're not nearly to the same level. They don't have the same level of, aircraft carrier fleets, nuclear submarines, nuclear warheads, all that kind of stuff. It's very much this is the United States has this power over the world. However, it's always been seen as a nation that is freedom loving, and people want to go to. People are trying
to. Land of the free, that, home of the brave.
Land of the free, home of the brave. People are trying to immigrate to the United States legally and illegally because they see it as this land of opportunity. Whereas people aren't necessarily clamoring with the same degree to get into those other superpowers.
No.
In fact, they're often trying to leave those other superpowers. And so the United States has had this power and it's been drawing people. And it's interesting, this is the first administration to come along and say, you know what, we have this power and we're going to actually use it in a way that's more blunt, I guess you could say. You know, we have this power, so why not exercise this power? If we, you know, if you want our help, Ukraine, you need to give us access, exclusive access to all of your rare earth minerals. We're gonna tariff you if you don't do these certain things because we know that if you don't agree, if you don't comply with us economically, you're gonna suffer. And so, look, that's just the way things are. And so we just need to get what we want. And so we're going to do it that way. America first.
It's interesting because Revelation 13, if you want to take a look at Revelation 13, in just what you've mentioned, Harley, here, in Revelation 13, verse 12, it speaks of this global authority of the United States of America. I don't know if you've got it there, if you want to read Revelation 13, verse 12, which follows on from verse 11, which identifies the United States of America.
Revelation 13, verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. This first beast is in reference to the papacy during the Dark Ages. The complete control that it had over Europe is now saying this power is going to have over the whole world. Exercise all the authority of the first beast in his presence and cause the earth and those who dwell in it to worship that first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And interestingly, one of the ways they cause people to do this is through economic pressure,
mm.
which is what we're seeing being exerted right now. And that no one may buy or sell, verse 17, except the one who has the mark of the name, mark of the beast, etc. Now, we'll talk about what the mark of the beast is later, but it's interesting, one of the tools being used to enforce this agenda is economic pressure. And what do we see the administration right now doing? Economic pressure. Threats of tariffs, threats of deals, etc.
And the economic pressure is there at the end of time as well with the no buy, no sell, which we're going to get to, which is part of the mark of the beast. Well, folk, we are just getting started. There's so much more. But now sit back and listen to Fountain View Academy Orchestra and Singers ring the bells of heaven, and we'll be back after that. Hey, everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Welcoming his weary wandering child.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud hearts ring. 'Tis the ransomed army like the mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
Bells of heaven, there is joy today,
for a wanderer now is reconciled.
Yes, the soul is rescued from his sinful way, and is born a new and ransomed child.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud hearts scream. 'Tis the ransomed army, mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
Ring the bells of heaven, spread the feast today. Angels swell the glad triumphant strain. Tell the joyful tidings, bear it far away, for a precious soul is born again.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud hearts ring. 'Tis the ransomed army,
like a mighty sea,
a mighty sea,
for the anthem of the free.
We'll sing the anthem of
free. You're listening to Faith FM. Positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 88 0856.
You're listening indeed to the Looking Up Show on this beautiful afternoon here in Lake Macquarie, where we are coming to you from. It's February 26th, and I have my special guest here today in the absence of Charissa, who's busy with prayer conference, last minute bits and pieces, Harley. So great to have you, Harley.
It's great to be here.
And your insights. He just shared like a mega insight, talking about dropping a prophetic bomb on the Looking Up Show in connection with the United States of America and how the Bible pictures it. And I hadn't quite thought of it in that way, and certainly didn't understand the history, because I've obviously, you know, I'm post-1950s,
yeah.
Even though you may not be able to tell. You might think that I was born prior to 1950, Harley.
You mean, I thought you were like pre-1850s.
You thought I was like in the 1700s. I was there with George Washington.
You saw these prophecies be fulfilled.
I was there when George Washington and the crew signed the Declaration of Independence. So, very interesting take on that. Very, very good. I'll be sharing that with Charissa when she comes to town, and I'm sure it'll be a bit of an aha moment for her. And that's a great thing about Bible prophecy, Rochelle, isn't it? You're always learning.
Absolutely.
Always learning. So that's why I love Bible prophecy. It's my favorite subject, because it's just so beautiful, so powerful, and especially the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
So anyway, all right, folks, it's time to give out those 16 copies of Hacksaw Ridge, the hero of Hacksaw Ridge, the true story of Desmond Doss. You need to get your hands on this. There's a documentary also that's been put out. Like I said, there's been
a movie, books.
So it's incredible.
But this is a good book.
Oh, top book. You're not going to read anything better. So anyway, we have the code word for you. But before I give you the code word, here's the number, just in case you didn't get it before. 04-888-17624. That's 04-888-17624. You need to text the code word into that particular number that I've just given. And what's the code word?
The code word is LU25HERO. LU25HERO.
So there you go, folk. Get your fingers moving. LU25HERO. Text that code word. No emojis. How do you say it?
Emojis.
I never get that right.
Oh, they can send an emoji if they want.
No, they can't, because it's not going to go through.
Just that. LU25HERO.
Otherwise, there'll be no book coming your way.
LU25, not, don't write 25.
Exactly.
But the 2 and a 5 HERO.
Excellent. Five. Thanks for clarifying that, Harley.
I wouldn't have got the book. I always send emojis.
That's why you never get anything from us.
Yeah, that's right. I always send the crazy face with its tongue sticking out and the eyeballs going crazy emoji.
Because you're a Gen Zer. You're a Gen Zer.
Yeah.
Are you Gen Y? Probably Gen Y, Gen Z, on the edge.
I'm 95, so I'm kind of like...
You're on the edge.
Kind of on the edge, kind of a millennial, kind of Gen Z.
You're a composite.
Once again, composite.
A composite generation.
We're talking about composite beasts here. Composite American Australia.
The South Wales are totally generation. Composite. Wait until
composite,
I catch up.
Composite, but not compromised.
Oh, did you get that? That was very quick, very quick. That was a typical South Wales quick comment. Composite, but not compromised. I love that. So... the number 04-888-17624. All right. So we talked about this coming together of, well, the Bible talks about it. We haven't talked about it yet, but we've talked about it at length on multiple occasions. This image of the beast that will be formed. Because if you continue reading there in Revelation chapter 13, it says that the world is deceived, beginning in the United States and
verse
then
14.
Fanning out across the world, yes, through this image of the beast. Do you want to read that for us, please? Verse 14 of Revelation 13.
And he, the second beast, which we understand to be the United States, deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, this first beast, which we read about earlier in the chapter, who was wounded by the sword and lived.
Okay, so just remind our listeners, Harley, this image of the beast, or what was the way things were in the old world where they fled from in order to come to the new world?
This was a beast power that was compromised Christianity, that was united with political power and used its political power to enforce its doctrinal will across the across Europe and across and its political will as well, and so it you know, basically didn't use economic sanctions as such, but it used spiritual sanctions. It used spiritual tariffs to get its way in the world. If you did not agree with the power of the beast during that time,
the church, the papal system,
you would become, you would receive spiritual tariffs, spiritual sanctions. Your
which would be in the form of
under interdict, and
which means what?
That no one, that anyone who dies in that country doesn't go to heaven.
Mm.
They go either to purgatory or go to hell. And so
the priests wouldn't baptize.
Priests wouldn't baptize. Priests wouldn't do communion. All that was shut off.
They wouldn't marry people.
They wouldn't do any of those sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
And so people were shut off from the accessing in their understanding. Shut off from accessing God. And so
they were banned from heaven.
Basically, and until the politicians of those countries came and groveled at the feet of the papacy and made a deal with the papacy to do whatever they wanted, then that would those economic those spiritual tariffs, those spiritual sanctions would be lifted.
It's pretty much the same thing what's happening in the United States of America now. You remember when Donald Trump was elected?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these tech billionaires, you know, that were like canceling him. I mean, he was canceled off Facebook. He was canceled off Twitter. Remember?
Yeah, yeah,
after January 6th.
Yep,
yeah. Yep. January 6th. We all remember that.
Yep, he was canceled.
You know, they're all now wanting to be besties with him. You know, the Canadian Prime Minister, who he called the governor of the 51st state.
Yep.
They're all coming. They're all not coming to Rome. They're all coming to Washington to hang out. Well, it wasn't so much Washington back there, it was Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
This is before he was sworn in January 20. And you see this procession of business leaders and tycoons coming and wanting to curry favor with Donald Trump, which is what happened in the old world. Because they knew that if you get on the wrong side of the church back in the day, in the dark ages, it would not go well for you and for your, you know, for your kingship or for your, you know, being a queen or whatever, wouldn't go well for you. The same goes today. And so we've got the exact same scenario happening, but this time it's not the Roman papacy in the old world. This time it's the United States of America. Mm. And it's very interesting to see how this is all being played out. And it's being played out in real time. I mean, they're all lining up to go visit Donald Trump. You know, we've had various prime ministers from India, the Israeli prime minister. We've just had Macron, you know, and then we've got the UK prime minister. He's about to come. Zelensky's about. They're all going.
They're all heading over. They're all going over to try and strike deals, make deals, avoid sanctions. Tomorrow, our own treasurer, Jim Chalmers, is traveling to the United States.
No way.
He's already traveled there probably. He might be in the air right now, whatever. He's traveling to meet with his counterpart in the U.S. to see if Australia can get exemptions from the steel tariffs that Trump has just placed on Australia, which means, it's interesting, you know, that even our own treasurer, Jim Chalmers, is heading over to do that.
So this idea of the United States growing in supremacy and power, and this has all happened very drastically. I was listening to, a press briefing. You know, you got this Caroline Leavitt, who's a pretty phenomenal force. You know, she's the press secretary.
She knows how to deliver a message.
She does. She does. And anyway, on the first month anniversary of his presidency, you know, they were just like, you know, talking about everything that Donald Trump had achieved in his presidency in connection with, you know, Doge, in connection with immigration, foreign policy. That were just sprouting off, you know, one achievement after the other. And really, in a month, It was quite something.
It was shock and awe.
It was shock and awe. And so it's really, really interesting. And then you've got Donald Trump, who appeared at the CPAC conference there in the United States. That's an annual gathering. CPAC stands for the Conservative Political Action Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And for 75 minutes, my churches complain if I go too far over 30 minutes in my sermons. For 75 minutes, he preached to these, you know, to the faithful.
That's right.
Of how wonderful he was.
Well, you got to,
you know, and what he had done in a month, you know, all the presidents combined hadn't done throughout the entire history of the United States of America, 250 years. I'm kind of exaggerating a little bit. I'm being a bit Trump-like in my exaggeration. But literally, he was saying, you know, I'm kind of, you know, the savior of America, the savior of the world.
He calls it the weave, Danny, the way he's able to just talk like that for so long and people just pay attention. So you got to study. As preachers, we got to study and we got to learn that weave.
And
so
then I can preach for 75 minutes, Michelle, and they won't complain. What are my chances? What are my chances of pulling it off? 75 minutes.
She's shaking her head.
And look, maybe I just need to talk about how wonderful I am. And then how I have just made the church such a wonderful place since I arrived. Do you reckon that's going to fly?
I think it's
Charissa. Rochelle can't respond because she's just laughing her head off. She can't respond. That's why, folks.
And I think we need to remember as well, there is a lot that he is doing that can be commended.
Absolutely. I love a lot of the stuff that's happening. That's right, I'm fully on board. Hallelujah. But I know where this is all
I'm
going.
I'm not fully on board, but it's
most of the stuff I'm on board with.
Yeah, you can see, okay, this is interesting, but what I find very interesting is that he's just the facade is kind of all off about like, hey, we have this power, but we're not going to pressure you too openly.
Mm.
We'll do it behind the scenes kind of thing. But that was with previous administrations. But now he's just out in the open. Boom, boom, boom. Do this or you get nothing, or do this, we're taking over Gaza, do this, da-da-da. We are the most powerful nation in the world. We are going to do these things because we can, and you better give in to us or you will suffer.
That's that dragon-like element in this beast.
Yeah.
It's got the lamb and the dragon all in one. In fact, that's the only scripture in Revelation where it appears 29 times. The lamb appears 29 times in the book of Revelation. Every single time, except for in this one text, you've got this nuclear bomb about to explode because you've got the dragon and the lamb in the one scripture.
That's right, that's right. And I think when we're talking about dragon speak is the language of pride.
Mm.
I am so great. Look at all this that I've done. And I deserve special privileges because of how great I am.
Mm.
And how, this is what Lucifer was saying in heaven. Mm-hmm. I deserve the highest position because I am so special. I'm exceptional.
Under my government, you'll do a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
Under my administration.
And wow. So there's definite dragon speak that we can see lining up here. I don't know if we got time as well to speak about this, but another thing that's happening in the headlines at the moment, it was in regard to the first beast that's mentioned.
Roman papacy.
I don't know if you've noticed what's
Pope
happening
Francis.
Right now. Pope Francis. Who knows?
He's in the last throws.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely getting old.
He's 88 odd.
Yeah, and he's very unwell. Very unwell. Look, who knows? He's probably got the best doctors in the world taking care of him as well. But, as you get old, there's only one direction you're heading. Mm. And so we know that Pope Francis has been actually quite critical of a lot of...
He has been. On immigration. And the climate.
On the climate and things like this. And so if Pope Francis was to pass away and the papacy was to read the room and say, okay, things are trending in a more
conservative
direction, mm-hmm. we could see a conservative resurgence in the conclave that would elect a conservative pontiff.
Wow, and that's something to watch out for.
Look, it's just pure speculation what I'm putting out
here
right now.
Here we go. Harley's making a prophecy. We're going to see whether that goes south or north.
But looking at current events right now, it's interesting to see. Because I don't think at the moment there'd be too much harmony between the two. But we can see a scenario where things are playing out where things could come.
The bottom line is this, Harley. The last few years in particular, we've seen this swing from the left to the right worldwide, not just in the United States, Europe.
Worldwide.
They've just had an election in Germany. Mm-hmm. You might have caught up with it. They've had an election in Germany. The party that got the second most votes was the ultra-right, considered. Yep. And so things are going to the right because the problem is the left and, this woke agenda and so on and so forth, that's
Marxism,
all that stuff, that whole thing, that has a use by date.
It does.
And according to scripture in Daniel chapter 11, which you'd be familiar with, there it talks about the king of the north coming against the king of the south. And the king of the south is this secular Marxist, communist way of doing life. Basically, Darwin and the whole thing. That came onto the scene of history in about 1798, but in the end, the King of the North, which is, papal-led Christianity, and those principles, those values, those conservative values that we are seeing front and center in the United States now, and more so, in other parts, including in Australia, they ultimately win the day and everyone gets on board.
And you might be listening to this and thinking, man, politically, where should I stand? Do I stand on the left or do I stand on the right? Or what should we do? We need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven.
Mm, amen.
And that's the important thing to remember, because we can look at this and say, oh man, it's what I'm hearing here, right wing agenda. Is it what I'm hearing here, left wing agenda? What I'm listening to on this radio show right now? It's neither, because we only have a heavenly agenda, and that's, we're looking at the prophecy.
Amen.
We're seeing this is where things are headed.
We're
this is
citizens
where
of the kingdom.
Citizens of the kingdom. And so my citizenship is not in this.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a great way to land as we approach our next song. And we're going to be listening to The Lower Lights. Where are we here?
Yep.
Yeah, The Lower Lights, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And then after that, we're going to get into The X-Files. So stay tuned. The Lower Lights, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Beautiful song, don't you reckon, Harley?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's what we all need, a closer walk with Jesus as we near the finishing line. And we're getting there quick now.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that the final movements would be rapid ones, and we've certainly seen some rapid changes in the last few months. Yep, the last 3 months since when? November 5th.
The world's been turning upside down.
Oh, absolutely. It's just incredible. So anyway, let me give another plug for our giveaway book today, The Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, The True Story of Desmond Doss. If you haven't had an opportunity to text in the code word, which is LU, the number 2, the number 5, hero, all one word, LU25, hero, to the number 0488817624. Please do that. Please do that. Get yourself one of these copies, 16 copies. You will be thoroughly blessed. We have been flying along here. I'm telling you, Harley is, he's got his finger on the pulse. And while we had that beautiful song, I shared with him my thoughts that he should have his own current events Bible prophecy program. But you know what he said, Rochelle? He says he's got too much on. He's got too much on.
I just told you at the beginning of the show, I'm currently doing 3 jobs and you want to give me a 4th.
Oh, I know. You do so well. It's been great to have you on, Harley. It's been a real blessing. And before I'm going to hand over to Harley to take us through a powerful study that you'll be blessed, I just want to point out that this movement that is really going gung-ho in the United States of America, this church-state coming together, you know, which which we've been talking about, and Donald Trump, you know, in an executive order that he issued not so long ago to combat anti-Christian bias in government, you know, he's been issuing that. He promised the Christians he's going to give them power in government such as they've never had before.
Absolutely.
Unprecedented power. So we're seeing all this come to pass. Now, here in Australia, last year I became aware of this, and my good friend Jane, who's in, she's in Townsville there, she's a regular listener. Thanks, Jane. She sent me this link to Church and State. We've got a Church and State conference here in Australia. It's literally called Church and State.
That's just insane.
In, and so this was news to Harley, so I'm glad I could share something with Harley that he wasn't aware of. Anyway, this is the headline, Church and State. The conference will be held there in Brisbane. 7th and 8th of March, which is just in a week or so. And the theme is pulpits aflame with righteousness. And pulpits aflame with righteousness is the theme. And so it's interesting that they take that theme title from a passage spoken by an Alexis Tocqueville in 1835. So that's a few years ago. And this is what he said. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame. So this is someone who's come to America. He's not a native of America. Sounds like he might be a Frenchman with that surname Tocqueville. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great.
Mm.
Isn't that a powerful quote? Anyway, so they've taken that as their, this is in Australia.
Yeah.
This is an Australian conference. This is not in the US. This is here in Brisbane. And this was the headline. Beyond that, a Christian culture conference for people wanting to redeem the culture and say what God says about debated issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the keynote speakers is, who did I mention before, one of our former prime ministers?
Tony Abbott.
Tony Abbott. He's a professed Christian. He's one of the speakers there and a number of others. I just want to read to you a little bit of this before I hand over to Harley, just to help you to know that this is happening in our own backyard.
Mm.
Don't miss the 8th. Okay, so this is the 8th Church and State Australian Summit. Let me read to you just this caption that introduces it. Church and State, by the way, we have that in the book, The Great Controversy, where Ellen White says, Church and State will unite at the end. You know that final paragraph in chapter 36, the impending conflict. Church and State is answering the burning questions of many Christians and a lost culture stumbling in the darkness. You'll be encouraged, equipped, and challenged to be effective salt and light, discipling the nation, teaching them everything Jesus commanded. A fear of politics has gripped the pulpits of Australia for decades, and our once humble nation now openly throws parades to celebrate pride in sexual sin, rejoices in the legislation of clinically killing, and eagerly sacrifices God-given freedoms in worship of government. Australians are actively being discipled by the media, internet influencers, politicians, and entertainment celebrities about the most debated issues in our culture. Yet far too many preachers are remaining silent about these all-important issues. They've got a point, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Despite the Bible being loud and clear, and it finishes off with these words, Harley, listen to these words. We need a reformation. There can be no revival in any nation without repentance, and there will be no repentance without the pulpits of Australia aflame with fearless preaching of righteousness. So this is interesting because
fire from heaven.
Fire from heaven. That's where what we have in Revelation 13. We've talked about the signs and the miracles and the wonders, which will be given by the religious community, beginning with the Protestants in the United States and then the religious communities around the world that will take on board this spiritualism, which is described here as this fire coming from heaven, which is this Pentecostal fire, this false fire at the end of time that's going to unite the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that powerful?
Just insane. Awesome.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Awesome stuff.
All right, so anyway, folk, I'm going to leave it there. When Charissa comes back, we're going to pick it up. There's so much more. But anyway, over to you now.
All right, Danny, do you play poker?
Do I play poker? No.
Neither do I. But have you heard of this phrase before? Ace in the hole.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of just means like you have this secret advantage that's kind of like you're going to reveal. Ha-ha! You know, you didn't know I had this ace in the hole. And yep. You thought, you know, and it just gets you across the line and gets you, you know, gets you where you need to go in some kind of poker game. So today I'm going to be talking about our ace in the hole, prophetically speaking. And this is something that God uses quite a lot. He uses prophecy as his ace in the hole in many ways. But also before he gives before there is a prophecy being fulfilled, he also does another prophecy that gets fulfilled to kind of prove that this is legit, that this is happening. So some examples we can see in Scripture. Noah preaches for 120 years that a flood is coming. And everyone's like, that's kind of bonkers. But is it as bonkers as all these animals going 2x2 and 7x7 into the ark suddenly? You know, just before this is fulfilled, there's this insane event that happens, mm-hmm. which makes everyone go, wait a second, maybe Noah has something to say. Now, the world at that time was so far gone, they didn't listen to him anyway, but God still sent that just then. Another great one we can think of is Jesus says, even to his disciples, now I've told you before it comes to pass, so that when it does come to pass, you may believe. He says that in John 14, speaking about his death and resurrection.
Mm.
He says, you will know that I'm the Messiah because I'm going to die and come back to life. That is a
bonkers. Like 3 days later, he says 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days. That's a bonkers thing to base your credibility off of. And the disciples don't even believe him when he says it. And they're just like, what is he talking about? But when it does happen, it believes. Now, this is, of course, him dying, coming back to life in that way, 3 days later, in that way, wasn't necessary. All he needed to do was die and come back to life for our sins. But the way it happened was in a way to prove the other prophecies that have been predicted about what the Messiah was going to do to save the world from their sins,
mm-hmm.
save us from our sins. And so that's super important to realize as well. Now, I'm going to rattle off some dates to you, and you're a student of prophecy, so let me know if you can give me some kind of idea of what all these dates are.
You're putting me on the spot, Mike.
457 BC, 27 AD, 31 AD, 34 AD, 508, 538, 1798, 1844. What are these dates?
These are prophetic dates in connection with the coming of Jesus, Daniel chapter 9.
Time prophecies.
Time prophecies, absolutely.
All different dates connected to time prophecies. But
the rise of the Roman papacy, deadly wound, the beginning of the judgment, and so on.
Yep. Fulfillment of the 70 weeks, the death of Christ, etc. What about this date, though? August 11, 1840.
That's a fascinating one.
August 11, 1840. Not many people are aware of this one because it's a more obscure time prophecy in the Bible.
But it's in the book of Revelation.
It's in the book of Revelation. Revelation 9, verse 15. Now, I don't have time to get into the whole what it's about, but I'll just tell you how it works. But Revelation 9:15. Do you have that one? Can you read it?
Sure. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind.
All right. So this was a prophecy, and it's a time prophecy that lasts for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. And if we take the day for a year principle, this brings us to 391 years and 15 days.
Wow.
All right. So this is a time prophecy that goes exactly to a date. Now, the Adventist pioneers sitting down, studying the Bible, coming to these conclusions that, wait a second, things are happening in 1840, 1844, etc. Now, they had the wrong event. They didn't quite understand what was happening in that. They thought Jesus was going to come back. They kind of ignored the fact that Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour he's going to return. They missed that, but they were right on the timing of these prophecies. They were studied. It was meticulous. It was connected. It was foolproof in every other respect. And one of the things is they also sat down and they were looking at this time prophecy here about the hour, day, the month, and the year, and they were studying through this, and they understood this to be in reference to the Ottoman power in Turkey at the time, in Europe at the time. And now I don't have time to get into all of that. There's some really good books you can read about this, commentaries like Enduring Vision by Austin Cook that go into these kind of things. But August 11, 1840 is when they saw this 15 days, this 391 years and 15 days coming to a close, and they saw that 391 years and 15 days before this, The Byzantine emperor had asked the Ottoman sultan for permission to ascend to the throne in Constantinople. And so in doing that, even though he was king in Constantinople, by asking permission to be king, he recognized that the Ottomans were his overlords, even though they gave him a degree of autonomy. And so in that was seen as the start of this period. And so preachers such as Josiah Litch and other Adventist Millerite preachers preached that on August 11, 1840.
So when you're saying Adventist, you're not talking about Seventh-day Adventists.
Not talking about Seventh-day Adventists.
These are those that believe in the advent of Jesus.
That's the coming of Christ. And this is the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
These guys. These not Seventh-day Adventists don't exist yet. they are preaching that on August 11, 1840, this 391 years and 15 days is going to come to an end.
Wow.
And everyone's like, yeah, whatever. This is kind of crackpot. This is kind of bonkers. And then do you know what happens on August 11, 1840? The Turkish power, the Ottoman power, requests aid and permission from the Christian powers in Europe of France and Britain. They request troops, finances, and aid so that they can exist, basically, against the Russian aggression.
On that very day.
On that very day. And so in doing, submitted themselves to Christian powers.
Wow.
So 391 years and 15 days earlier, a Christian power had submitted to Ottoman rule, and on that day, it flipped. It went the other direction. All right? And so many people were converted to the Millerite movement when this prediction came true.
So this was preached far and wide by these Millerite preachers.
Preached far and wide. Wow. And this was the ace in the hole for this message, because so many people were said, oh, wait a second, this day for a year principle of prophecy actually works. Because they said it was going to happen, and they said it was going to happen to the exact day, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so people came around and they started following along and going with this. And so you have this very, this is the way God works. When he gives a bonkers prediction, he gives also another thing that happens just before, another fulfillment that happens just before. And so we're going to talk about in a second the X-Files.
And so when the date was set for October 22, 1844, as the coming of Jesus, they said, well, it happened on August 11, 1840. It's going to happen again.
Yes. And so many people were convinced and came along to that.
Very, very powerful.
Very powerful.
And God obviously allowed this to take place. And it's in Revelation chapter 10, the great disappointment is described there, but God says, go and prophesy again.
Which he also allowed to happen with the disciples.
He did, yes.
They had this full-on expectation. They had the right time. They had the right guy, but they had the wrong event.
Yeah.
And the same thing 2,000 years later, they have the right time, they have the right guy, but they got the wrong event happening once again. And there's this great disappointment. And then afterwards, people go back to the scriptures and study more. And when the Adventist pioneers go back to the scriptures and start studying more, they come across this prophecy in Revelation 13. And they start, wait a second, we need to understand this prophecy more clearly, because we understand the first beast and we understand how that ties in. But what is this second beast? There was debate about this.
So this first beast is the Roman papacy, Revelation 13, 1 to 10.
They're looking around and there are different major powers in play on this earth, because the first beast, the papacy has gone into decline. It's been eradicated by the French.
Yeah.
It's gone into decline, and they're looking around, and they have two options they can choose for what this would be. The first is to look at the world at the time and see there is no greater nation that has ever existed on the world than was the nation than was the empire that was existing at that time, being the British Empire.
The British Empire. Yeah.
The sun never set on the British Empire, ruling one quarter of the world's
and
population.
And so we have been told.
All right. And so you would expect a Christian nation as well, that this would apply to this. If you're interpreting prophecy based on headlines, that's what you would do.
Mm-hmm.
But they look at the prophecy and they say, wait a second, there's some things here which don't line up with this being the British Empire. And this actually leads them to the bonkers conclusion that this is the United States being spoken of in this instance. So when we come back after the break, we'll see what led them to this conclusion and what kind of further bonkers predictions does that tie into, and what do we see happening today?
Wow, what an intro, folk. Well, stay tuned for round two. In the meantime, Bart Millard and Vince Gill, Jesus Cares For Me. If ever we needed that, it's today.
Jesus cares for me. It seems too good to be. All my worries and doubts released. Jesus cares for me. I was all alone without a trace of hope for me. Song to sing. Jesus cares for me. It seems too good to be. All It seems too good to be. All my worries and doubts remains. Jesus cares for me.
Listening to Bart Millard and Vince Gill, Jesus Cares For Me. Wow, what a beautiful song. And time is flying on the Looking Up Show, as it does every single week. Literally, we need to have a 3 to 4 hour program, Harley, to get through even half the material that we have from week to week. It's just so much going on. It's like drinking water out of a fire hydrant. It's ridiculous, ridiculous. All right, so the Looking Up code word. For those who want that book, Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, do we have some more copies left? Yeah, we've got more copies left. So get ready to send the code word, which is LU25HERO, LU25HERO to 04-888-17624, 04-888-17624. Now, we've got some folk that have sent some comments in. Rochelle, could you share them with us, please?
Yes, I would like to do a shout out. Shell Southwell would like
Shell
to.
Shell Southwell, do you know who Shell Southwell might be?
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her.
She says you're distant crushing relation. It. Distant
she's relation. Listening in. She's listening in to her boy.
That must be some distant relation.
Crushing it. I love it. Go, Shell. Go, Shell. Any others?
No, we've just got some people claiming the book, which is great. Some, one from Melbourne and one from Queensland. So we're all over.
Oh, you guys are going to love it. It's a great book.
Fantastic. All right, hey, folk, if you've got any comment, any question for Harley,
please.
We've got him as a special guest today. It's not going to be the last time you hear him. We're going to have him on again to share more updates with us. So feel free to share that in a text message to 04-888-17624. Over to you, Harley.
All right, so we left us off with this bit of a cliffhanger. How are, you know, we're studying, Adventists are going back and they're studying the prophecies after the great disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to understand what happened and they're looking at other prophecies. And they're seeing that there is, after the first beast goes into captivity, there is a second beast that arises.
Which happened in 1798.
And so they're looking around and they're seeing, on the world stage, a Christian nation dominating the world.
Mm.
All right,
because of the lamb-like aspect to the prophecy in Revelation 13:11.
And so that's the British Empire.
Mm.
However, they recognize something else, that the prophecy says that this beast comes out of the earth, not out of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And they notice that the United States has arisen in the New World in an area that has no population, like the Bible
says,
sparsely populated. Now, what's interesting is that when the Europeans first arrived in the Americas, the population of the Americas was the same as the population of Europe. So it wasn't sparsely populated when they first arrived.
Mm-hmm.
However, by the time the United States became a nation, the Native American population of the United States had been reduced to 5% of what it had been before colonial contact with the Europeans.
5%?
5%.
Wow.
Now it's just through disease.
Yep.
That's just through disease.
Okay.
And the American explorers like Lewis and Clark and these guys, as they're going out and exploring into the heartland of the United States, of America, they're finding evidences of great population areas that have just been decimated. You know, wow. teepee cities and villages and Indian villages, Indian cities that are just
so it's no a one, Western no one living civilization there. Pandemic. Literally,
it just spread through, and so the United States comes to power in a sparsely populated area. That's not to say that there wasn't people before, but as it comes to power, it's this desolated into what it's coming into power in, and so they see this and they say, okay, this has to be a new world power. And so they come to the conclusion, well, this can't be an old world power like Britain. The only nations in the world this could be would be the United States, because it is a Christian nation arising in a sparsely populated area after the fall of the first beast. And so that's the conclusion they come to. And now I want you to think for a second how bonkers that is, because the prophecy says that this beast is going to be so powerful, it's going to have all the power the first beast had before it, and it's going to have global domination.
Mm-hmm.
And when they caused
the whole world?
Yeah. And when they came to this conclusion, not only was the British Empire the one that you would suppose would do that, but the United States was in the midst of tearing itself apart in a civil war. Mm. It was quite weak. Both sides were begging the British for help, basically.
Wow.
Begging the old world for help, for recognition, for support, for arms, etc., so that they could wage this civil war that they're fighting.
This is in the 1860s.
They're still fighting and losing wars to that decimated population that's still there of Native Americans. You have Custer's Last Stand and things like that. You know, they're fighting and they're losing wars to Native Americans. Losing battles, really, not losing wars. They're losing battles. And so it's still quite a weak nation. Comparatively to what the Bible says it's going to become. But they come to this absolutely bonkers conclusion that, no, this is the United States, because they don't interpret the prophecy based on the headlines, but they interpret it based on principles of biblical interpretation.
Fascinating.
And it leads them to this conclusion, which we can now see in our day and age has been completely vindicated.
Oh, absolutely. No one's going to argue with you that the United States is the sole superpower on the planet.
And so if you're listening to this and you think, oh, I don't know what these guys are talking about, it sounds kind of crackpot, think about how crackpot it must have sounded back, you know, 170 years ago. But nowadays it's not.
When Jane Andrews, the first one to identify this power as the United States of America, 1858, I think it was.
Around then.
The guy would have been laughed out of town. Looney Tune.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. But what we see now is that this is coming to pass. When we look at the prophecy, it says, you know, that he's going to exercise all the authority of the first beast. He's going to perform great signs. He makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. He is going to say that we need to make an image to the first beast. We need to copy what that first beast is. And then he's going to have the power to be able to enforce this mark. And anyone who doesn't receive the mark of this first beast is going to be persecuted economically and then also be killed, physically persecuted as well. And it's interesting when you look at Revelation 13, God is very angry about these commandments that the beast is giving out to the world. And there are four commandments that are given. First, the first commandment is to worship the beast. Second commandment is worship the image of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Third commandment is honor the number of the beast's name.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth commandment is receive the mark of the beast.
Mm.
All right? Now, these four commandments that the beast is laying out at the end of time completely contradict God's first four commandments.
Because God has given the state authority over the second tablet of the law, which is, those last six commandments.
About love to neighbor.
Yeah, but love to your neighbor. But certainly in connection with love towards God, that's between you and God, and the state has absolutely no place to delve into that space.
And there was a time when a king of Israel thought that he had that power to be a priest. And he went into the temple to burn incense.
You remember who that king was?
King Uzziah. Mm-hmm. And he went to burn incense, and he was smitten with leprosy. Where did it start? In his forehead. And that's just some very interesting ties with what's showing that God does not appreciate the union of church and state in that way.
Fascinating. Yeah.
He keeps the kings and the priests separate, even in his own theocracy. Anyway, back to this. So those four commandments of the beast: worship the beast, worship the image of the beast, honor the number of the beast's name, receive the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Correlate with the first four commandments.
And you've
of God.
Got them all in Revelation 13, folk.
That's right.
It's all there. Even the word blasphemy there that connects with the third commandment's all there. So it's all there in Revelation 13.
And those commandments match up with worship the image of the beast violates the commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Worship the image of the beast violates commandment number two, you shall not worship images. Honor the number of the beast's name violates commandment number three, thou shalt not dishonor the name of God, blasphemy, etc. And then receive the mark of the beast violates commandment number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because the mark of the beast is the mark that the that the papacy claims for itself, which is that they have the authority over God's law, over God's word, to change times and laws. Mm-hmm. And they have done this in which all churches agree with them, pretty much all churches agree with them, that they have transferred the solemnity of God's Sabbath day from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week, and they claim this as their mark of authority.
And God told us in Daniel 7:25, 2,500 years ago, that this power would arise that would seek or think to change times and laws.
That's right, that's right. So that's a bit of like background to this. So to then come to this conclusion, this furthermore conclusion, number one, bonkers conclusion, that the United States is going to become this great power. All right, but looking at it now,
it's so,
very reasonable, very reasonable.
Tick in
but
that
there
box.
Is still one more bonkers conclusion that we have to present to you guys, folks. One more bonkers application of this prophecy. And that is that the mark of the beast is going to be enforced Sunday worship.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Enforced Sunday worship. And that is, even saying it sounds crazy.
It does.
I remember growing up and hearing this being preached, and I'm like, nah.
The land of the free, the home of the brave.
Well, I was just thinking like, oh, maybe it was just our Adventist pioneers were just paranoid about the Sabbath. And that it was going to be taken away from them. And so they came up with this. They invented this this to kind of give themselves a validity. But it's actually all from Scripture. It's all right there in the Bible. And it's not. It's what happens when you apply the things, when you apply the principles of biblical interpretation, it leads you to this conclusion that it's going, that this is what the mark of the beast is going to be. And so we have this ace in the hole now. And I don't, if you're a Seventh Adventist listening to this and you're like kind of in a bit like, oh, I don't know about this whole Sunday law, mark of the beast kind of stuff, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's our ace in the hole. Because when it happens, all those who've heard us talking about it are going to go, wait a second, these guys are right about something. Just the same thing happened with August 11, 1840. Just the same thing happened when Jesus died and rose again. Just the same thing happened when the animals went onto the ark. There is this ace in the hole which God has lined up as a prophetic fulfillment just before another major thing happens to make people go, whoa, I need to pay attention.
Powerful
all right,
stuff.
All right, so let's see. Is this happening, though? Is this happening?
Okay, now before you get there, just to recap, before the ace in the hole, okay, before the mark of the beast is enforced, the image of the beast will be set up, which is the union of church and state.
Correct.
Which is religion having more and more influence in government, is what we are seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also part of that is this pendulum swing from the left to the right in the United States of America and the West and the whole world, which we're seeing right now. So you've got all that as a backdrop. We're seeing actually that happening in real time. So with that background, continue.
Yep. So yeah, with that. Now, in regards to Sunday laws, this isn't something new. There's always been agitation in the United States for Sunday laws because there's always been this, ever since the Constitution was set up, there's been people that haven't liked it because it gives these things about separation of church and state, and they're like, no, we need to be a Christian nation, and we need to enforce Sabbath laws. Always from the very beginning, the closest it ever came was in 1888 when there was a national Sunday law introduced by Senator Henry Blair, Republican of New Hampshire, and he introduced this law to the United States Senate, and it was going to be passed up through Congress, etc., and turned into a law that there would be enforced Sunday rest across the country, apart
from,
of course,
that's what it's called, a national Sunday law.
Yeah, it was called I forget what it was called. Jones was an Adventist. He was the first one, as we said, Andrews.
Andrews was the first one to identify the U.S.
So A.T. Jones, another one of our Adventist pioneers who really pioneered our church at that beginning stages. He actually went before, he was a lawyer, he went before the United States Senate, he met before the committee, and he presented. He said, look, you know, the Constitution says Congress shall make no law in establishment of any religion.
Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
And this law is establishing religion. And they're like, oh yeah, well, we're a Christian nation. Everyone agrees Sunday is the Sabbath. And he says, no, not all Christians believe that. You have Seventh-day Baptists, you have Seventh-day Adventists. There's a couple others here and there as well. Not only that, but there are, in this nation, Jews. You know, and do we have Judeo-Christian values, or do we just have Christian values? You know, because Judeo, well, that means if you're doing Judeo-Christian values, then you can't have Sunday law, because that's wiping out the Jews right to Sabbath, right, on the seventh day. And so he presents this before them, and they're like, oh, okay, that's very interesting, you know, and it argues back and forwards. He argues about it from that it'll be discriminatory, that it was violating the separation of church and state, that it was violating religious liberty, that it was violating the Constitution, basically. And it was practically inconsistent as well, like, how is it going to be enforced? And so then the politicians came back to him and they said, look, we'll make some exceptions for Adventists, for Seventh-day Baptists, mm-hmm, for Jews. Mm-hmm. They can be exempted from this. You know, I don't know how they would be carrying a card around saying I'm exempt. I don't know. All right? But we'll make an exemption, you know, for you guys. And Jones says, we don't want an exemption because even to accept an exemption
It sounds like COVID, people that were seeking for exemptions. This is like a carbon copy. Carry on.
Yeah. So he's like, I won't accept any exemptions because to accept an exemption is to accept the law is even valid in the first place.
Good point.
And he's just saying, look, this law violates the Constitution, and so it shouldn't be passed. And so his testimony before the U.S. Senate and Congress, etc., helped actually turn that away from being a national federal Sunday law. Mm-hmm. However, in the United States, there are still many states that passed in their own legislatures Sunday laws, etc.
They call them blue laws.
Blue laws. And in fact, you can actually look up right now, see what's happening in New Jersey. There is this big mall. All right, called American Dream Mall, and it is in this Bergen County, New Jersey, and New Jersey is the last county that really still holds on to this really strict blue law, and that all stores have to be closed. A lot of other states still have blue laws, but they don't really enforce them. But this county does.
Wow.
Anyway, this mall has like, stuff it. We're not gonna follow this. We're gonna open on Sundays. And there's this big fracas going up all at the moment about this at the moment. So you can even read about it. It's still in place, even in county level or state level, but not federal.
Wow.
And so what we should be expecting is some kind of movement in the federal sphere to do this. Now, I want you to notice this prediction from another one of our pioneers, Ellen White. She says, and she writes this in the book, The Great Controversy. She says, political corruption is destroying love of justice and regard for truth. And even in free America, rulers and legislators, in order to secure public favor, will yield to the popular demand for a law enforcing Sunday observance. So she says, this is actually going to come from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. There is, and so grassroots.
And so when we come back after the music break, I'm going to show you guys the X-Files. We're going to see, is there a grassroots movement growing in the United States advocating for the return of the blue laws, and not just state level, but federal enforced Sunday laws, and eventually global Sunday laws as well.
In order to get the nation back to God, in order to make the nation great again. Have we heard that?
In order to make the nation great again, Christian again.
Have mercy. Folk, we've been hearing some amazing things, but now we're going to listen to Daniel Martin Moore, It Is Well With My Soul. Beautiful song. Sit back and enjoy, and then we're going to be in the final stages.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well. Hasten the day when my faith shall be a sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the light shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
You're listening to The Looking Up Show. We are in the home stretch. I can't believe it. I've been enjoying this time with our mate Harley Southwell. By the way, we had a little plug from Lyle, who was promoting your mum's show. Your mum's got a show on the Faith FM network, the Shell Show, full of music. And, Lyle here, he takes on board questions, Bible questions in his Q&A section there on the Shell Show on a Thursday at 5 p.m., Thursday 5 p.m. So if you're interested in having an answer to your question, feel free to tune in 5 p.m. Thursday to the Shell Show and you can ask your question to Lyle. So final plug for the book Hero of Hacksaw Ridge. We've got a few more copies left. Yep, we've got more copies left. So the code word is LU25HERO 04-888-17624. This is your last opportunity. I'm not going to repeat it again. God bless. Enjoy this book. Over to you, Harley. We have been on a roller coaster. you're just flying, mate. You're crushing it.
Are you ready for the X-Files?
You're crushing it. The X-Files, here we go. Here we go. The X-Files are here. All right.
Before we talk about the X-Files, there's one more thing I want to talk about. It's actually, you probably already mentioned this already. I might not have heard it, but you've probably noticed Project 2025.
Oh, absolutely. We've talked about it.
And what it talks about in regards to Sunday legislation.
Yes, indeed.
Now, a lot of people freaked out. Adventists freaked out. Sunday laws on Project 2025. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. What, in fact, all it's asking for in Project 2025 is the Sunday legislation we currently have here in Australia, which is that people get paid time and a half for working on Sundays. Mm-hmm. However, I want you to notice the specific language that's being used here. Congress.
And what page is that? Do you have the page?
Project 2025, Mandate for Leadership, page 589.
There you go. 589, folk.
Congress should encourage communal rest. First of all, it starts, God ordained the Sabbath, and by that they mean Sunday, as a day of rest, and until very recently the Judeo-Christian, I have to laugh because they kind of ignore the Jews, Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day.
Talking about blue laws.
Followed by a few sentences on why regular day of rest is beneficial, and then the proposal that Congress should encourage communal rest by, and then they say
Congress.
Yeah, and
that's
then they, you know, so make it a federal law.
Yeah,
all right. By doing the time and a half. All right, mm-hmm. Basically economically pressuring businesses to not work as long on Sundays. Hey, fair enough. It's the weekend.
But we have, like I said, we've got those
sound laws
here in Australia.
Congress should encourage communal rest. Can also then be pushed to further degrees. Mm-hmm. And I think you've already mentioned this and talked about this. All right. So after I read that in Project 2025, and even Donald Trump said, no, I disavow it. But even if you go through and see what he's doing, it's just Project 2025.
Well, we talked about it last week. Yep. Time Magazine, one of the latest, 2/3 of Project 2025 is either being implemented or or in the pipeworks.
That's right. And so it's happening. And even right after the election, a whole bunch of people coming out saying, we tricked you. Project 2025 was the plan all along. Anyway. I went after the election. I went on to X, formerly known as Twitter. I reactivated my account.
Here we go. These are the X Files, folks.
And I started to think. I was like, you know what? Where would I see conversations happening about whether we want Sunday laws, things like that? What's interesting? So I did word search. Right, searching by keywords such as blue laws, state Sabbath law, and things like those. Christian nationalism Sunday, Christian nationalism Sabbath. Those words I'll tie together and just see different tweets that would come up. What's very interesting, especially around the regards to blue laws, the tweets about blue laws in particular. If you can go back to 2016 when Twitter was still around and Trump was tweeting all the time and Trump supporters and stuff were tweeting all the time. And once a week or so, you'd find a person mentioning, "Hey, we need to bring back blue laws." Mm-hmm. This last election. Ever since that, I'm seeing one or two a day.
Wow. So from one or so a week to one or two a day 8 years later.
Yeah, exponential growth in popular support and demand from the population for a return to Blue Laws. Now, X, of course, is just a representative of a small portion of society. It's only about, doesn't have nearly as many but it's very, they're very vocal people. These are vocal people who get out there and they advocate for things. And if they're advocating for it on X, they're advocating it in their own homes, in their own churches, in their own communities as well. So let me read to you some of these screenshots, some of these tweets that I found. How much time do we got? 10 minutes. All right. EnglishLad217 says, I agree. I have said for a long time to get back to church on Sunday. Then we can push for a closure of all shops on our Sabbath. It's time to enforce our Christian laws onto this Christian nation.
Wow. All
right. There's one here by at LCC underscore Maddie, who is a pastor in Canada. This is a Canadian pastor. And he's talking about Canadian Sunday laws, blue laws, and he says, look, these existed till 1980s, and then a lady responds to him and says, this is enforced worship. And so he says, his reply is, in a Christian republic, she asked, what about Jews, who keep Sabbath? In a Christian republic, Jews would be free to practice their Sabbath, but they would not be free to profane the Christian Sabbath. You speak like Sabbath laws would usher in some sort of dystopian nightmare and that Jews would politically persecute in Christian nations, but historically that isn't the case. Historically it is the case. You look at some history and you can see, Jews have always been persecuted historically. FB Raiden 8 at FB Raiden 8 says, Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day are proof that our society can exist with stores closing for a day. Make Sunday blue laws great again. At Midwest Nitwit tweets, real cultural victories would entail a curtailment to the end of pornography, excessive drinking, transgender surgeries, return to the Hays Code, a return to blue laws. Those are actually conservative victories. And so a lot of those things I can agree with, banning pornography, banning excessive drinking, transgender surgeries, all that. But then bring in the blue laws as well there. Wait a second, that's now stepping into the first tablet of the Ten Commandments, not the second.
This is really fascinating. If I could just mention this, you've got the combination of morality being linked with these blue laws or with Sunday.
Wait till you see how they tied in with immigration.
You have, back 100 years ago, as you would know, the great controversy picks up that, you've got the prohibition movement, in connection with alcohol and the damage alcohol was doing in the United States. That was connected with the Sunday blue laws and with the Blair Bill. You've got that groundswell of movements wanting to reform United States society in a moral way, and then the Sunday law is basically being piggybacked on that foundation that's being created, which is what we have right now.
All right. One of the largest accounts I've seen tweeting for this is Peter Hitchens. And you might have heard of Christopher Hitchens, a famous atheist. He has a brother, Peter Hitchens, who's a famous Christian.
Oh, no way.
I guess they must have gone at it all the time. but he tweets, actually, the fourth commandment establishing a general day of rest every week is still a pretty good idea, and we will be sorry when it's gone, in reference to an article saying that all stores should be closed on Sunday in the UK. That's an interesting one. We have... you can just see. I've just got tweet after tweet after tweet.
I can
tweet
see.
After
you
tweet
said you like tweet. Had about 100 or so.
Yeah, I've got 120.
Wow, that you've collected. So you're just giving it just a sample.
Just
folks.
A sample. All right. At Cromer Harry, who is a Christian nationalist, he says it on his profile. He tweets: Christian nationalism will restore Sunday blue law protections mandating a Sabbath day of rest. Stephen Wolfe, have you heard of Stephen Wolfe? He's the author of the book The Case for Christian Nationalism, a best-selling book in American Christian circles at the moment. And there's this lady, Jenny Kahn, she's dialoguing about this, and she says, Stephen Wolfe, author of The Case for Christian Nationalism and leader in the Christian Nationalist Movement, says that it should be permissible for Christians to deem certain groups to have positions that are detrimental to the fundamental features of society and to rescind their political equality. Hmm. Person then replies, this is terrifying. And then a Christian nationalist supporter of Stephen Wolfe then replies to that person, and this is at Reformed Sooner, we are growing in numbers and influence amongst the right already, but don't worry, you don't have to be afraid unless the idea of blue laws, i.e. no work on Sunday for non-essential jobs, is a nightmare for you. Wow. What a chilling tweet. At Theophysicus says, technically, I'm the age group of millennials. But I belong with whatever generation is for a return of Sabbath laws and public floggings.
Wow. that's taking us back to colonial times.
That's right. And this guy...
When this actually did happen, you were flogged if you did some work on Sunday or whatever case may be.
This guy, he's only got 782 followers on X, but some of those followers are people like Eric Kahn, Joel Webben. If you know who these guys are, these are like major Christian nationalist thought leaders.
Wow.
Who just have some really insane things to say.
There are organizations in the United States that are against Christian nationalism, that are, you know, for the separation of church and state, that are completely alarmed with what's going on.
That's right. That's right. I've dialogued with some of these people as well. I've debated back and forth with them about, hey, you know, what about other Christians who don't necessarily agree with you on this one? You know, Dimitri Fleming, time for Christians to take over America and bring black blue laws. Dimitri Fleming, we need more Christians who are utterly unwilling to work on Sunday unless it's a necessary job. We need blue laws back. At the Don Stein, you are simply mistaken. When people have excuses not to be pious, they take them. When people are trained and expected to be pious, they become so. Blue laws are unambiguously good for society.
So basically, we're looking at individuals supporting legislating morality.
That's right.
Legislating morality based on the last six. Legislating spirituality.
Legislating spirituality, not legislating morality.
The government's right is to legislate morality. But legislating spirituality.
That's an entirely different
religion.
That's right.
So it's interesting. If I could just, it's not just on X. We've shared article after article because I'm not on X. Mm-hmm. But here's one.
Don't go. It's terrible.
This is from January 31. I'll take your word for it. January 31, 2025. Okay. So just a month ago, this was from Pop Sugar magazine. They've got a website. The ultimate Sunday reset checklist to prepare for the week ahead. So this is out there in mainstream as well. You know, you've got newspapers weighing in. You've got, you know, popular, you know, lifestyle magazines and so on and so forth. So yeah, it's not just social media.
That's right. Check out this one from @PastorRoy. I believe that the current American malaise began in the late 1960s, perhaps a bit earlier, with the ending of the so-called Sunday Blue Laws. Cultural, moral, ethical entropy began in earnest and is now at its mediocrity, is at its worst. And so basically he's saying, look, the reason why America sucks so much at the moment is because we got rid of the blue laws.
Mm.
Check out this one. Logan Ramsey, SDG, @LoganRamseySDG. Look how they tie this in with the immigration issue. I've often thought that the Christian answer to immigration is solved in Sabbatarianism. In the Old Testament, everyone has to obey the Sabbath, even the sojourner. What this does is it establishes by law that this community is one which pays due honor to the true God. Therefore, in a Christian nation, it would be perfectly appropriate to bar people from entrance to the land if they will not pay due honor to God expressed in keeping of the Sabbath. And by that, he means Sunday.
So due honor to the government, pay your taxes, due honor to God, rest on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Or Sunday.
That's right.
Wow.
Check out, and I'll finish with this one. This is from @BonifaceOption. No commerce on Sundays is a good political and cultural practice, even if you're not Sabbatarian. And it's one that quite obviously has to be centrally coordinated. No more going to the Sizzler after church. It's not going to kill you. And the NFL is just going to have to find some other day to play on. And then some people reply to him, and he replies back. This is, by the way, this guy's got like 25,000 reviews on this tweet. And he replies, someone debates with him, he says, this is exactly backward. There is a reason why Sabbath breaking was a capital crime in Israel. You don't economically incentivize those who refuse to honor the Lord's Day to the hurt of those who do. And so notice that. Now, not only just wanting Sabbath laws to be enforced, Sunday laws to be enforced, but they want it to be brought back as a capital crime.
Which is the death penalty.
Death penalty. And so this is the crazy thing, you know.
And we have that in Revelation 13 because it literally says,
if you don't receive the mark of the beast,
you will be killed.
You'll be killed.
Verse 15, that's what it says. It causes as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Yep. That's beyond the buying and the selling.
Yeah, and I take
that's like the final station.
God, and it's true. God did establish right at the very beginning capital punishment for breaking of the Sabbath because he needed to just really get people aware of how important
this was.
But
that was a theocracy.
That was
a very different government to what we have today.
Very different government to what we have today. But they're using that as justification to bring it back now as well. And so there's just crazy stuff happening. And this is, I said, I just read like, 15 out of 120 that I'm getting, and I get more every day.
Wow.
All right, and it's hard to not feel a sense of vindication, in a sense.
This is the ace.
We're seeing the ace growing. It's starting to be revealed.
Absolutely.
It's hard not to feel a sense of vindication as a Seventh-day Adventist that Is this so crackpot anymore?
No,
it's not.
People
laughed us off as being conspiracy theories and stuff like that. We're seeing it happening.
History is being repeated. Let me read to you from The Great Controversy, The Impending Conflict, Chapter 36. Listen to this. This was in connection with what happened in 1888. Yet this very class, she's talking about the Christian Temperance Movement or the Women's Christian Temperance Movement, put forth the claim that the fast-spreading corruption in the United States is largely attributable to the desecration of the so-called Christian Sabbath and that the enforcement of Sunday observance would greatly improve the morals of society. And she says this claim is especially urged in America, where the doctrine of the true Sabbath has been most widely preached. And then she goes on and she talks about it. And then she says at the end, this will be repeated. You know, when church and state unite, it will be repeated. And so we are seeing the beginnings of that. We are seeing that under the current administration, they're seeking to bring morality back, seeking to bring God back into the nation, and we are seeing this movement gathering more and more speed. Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow, powerful stuff. Thank you for sharing all this with us, Harley. We've got some final comments from Harley in just a little bit, but in the meantime, Jimmy Rogers, It Is No Secret. We'll be back soon.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
There is no night, for in His light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam.
There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
That was Jimmy Rogers. It's no secret. What a beautiful voice. You've been listening to the Looking Up show over these last couple of hours, and we're in the absolute final stretch. What final words would you like to share with our listeners? Words of encouragement, Harley.
I think just as a pastor, I have talked with people and heard people and heard the sentiment of, and even when I'm sharing with people who are not Adventist or not of our faith, I might be sharing this topic with them about prophecy. And they express this idea, okay, well, when these things start to be fulfilled, then I'm going to turn to make my heart right with God. But until then, I'm just going to keep going as I am, and I'll come back to it later.
I'll get on that last train.
When I get on the last train, when I see it be fulfilled. And the assumption behind this is that there, you know, it's going to take many years for this legislation to get passed or things like that. You know, but the Bible says, the Bible does say, but also Spirit of Prophecy, Ellen White shares as well, the final movements will be rapid ones.
Those labor pains Jesus talked about, they'll be quick.
Yeah, but how would you feel about this, by the way? How would you feel about this if you were, you know, trying to woo a woman? You know, you've fallen for this girl and you love her and you're trying to win her over to you, and she's like, oh, you know what, let me just go and I'm gonna go to all these other guys first, have fun with all them, and then I'll come back to you when I'm ready. Would you feel that that's actually genuine, true love and commitment?
I would not give her a second look.
All right, and vice versa. If a guy said that to you, ladies, that's what you said.
Absolutely,
as well, you know?
Absolutely.
That's not love. That's not commitment. And at the end of the day, it's not about, oh, I'm gonna start doing things right at the end. It's about the ones who are right with God at the end are the ones who are in love with God.
Mm.
And we're talking here about, you know, crazy final events and stuff like that. We need to, we must not forget that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
It's not the revelation of the beast. It's not the revelation of the second beast. It's not the revelation of the dragon. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's designed, God wrote this down to draw us closer into relationship with Christ. Mm. He gave us these warnings to draw us closer into relationship with Christ. And we must not misapply the warnings to say, when this happens, then I will do it.
Mm.
We must say, God is warning me about this because he loves me so much already, and I need to commit my life to him today.
Mm.
Because of that love, which is so incredible, that he gave his own son for us, that Jesus gave his own life for us, that we have this true gospel. There is the message of the true Sabbath rest and what that entails. It's not forced. It's a time of relationship, connecting with God, and it's his sign and it's his seal of those who truly love and follow him. And that is something that you should embrace now. That you shouldn't wait and put off, but that you should say, you know what, God is real, prophecy is real, God loves me. Mm. I want to have a relationship with him.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
Amen, amen. So the motivation is not fear,
yes,
but the motivation is faith. Love, a love that's worked out through faith.
Our tagline, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. That's our Looking Up Show.
Amen. That is the Looking Up Show in a nutshell. And you are right on. And, you know, you're not going to be saved by knowing these things. Jesus said, I've told you beforehand so that when it does come to pass, you may believe. And John 3:16 is clear. By believing in him, you may not perish, but have everlasting life. So prophecy is designed to affirm our faith. The things we talk about every week here, showcasing how Bible prophecy is being fulfilled, how that we're getting closer and closer to the coming of Jesus, tells us that, yes, that day is drawing near and we ought to be excited. Just as, you know, Jesus said, when you see all these things come to pass, look up, you know, because your redemption is drawing near, hence the name of the Looking Up Show. So that's in Luke 21:28. So I want to thank you, Harley, so much for coming and for sharing. And, you know, we're definitely going to have you again if you're able to come on board. And I know you're a busy bee, but we'd love to have you come and share again. Some updates, some X-File updates. And I'm sure if I put it out there to the listeners, they'd be all giving me the thumbs up right now. So,
well, you know, if you're up for it, if you're willing to brave the cesspool, get yourself an account. Go on there yourself, word search, blue laws, state Sabbath laws. You'll see it all happening in front of your very eyes.
My daughter's banned me from social media. They're like, Dad, we don't know what you're going to say. You're going to embarrass us. So, but anyway, I may still do it against their will. But anyway, thank you so much, Harley. I'm going to pray for you and pray for our listeners before we sign off. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for the sure word of prophecy. We thank you that we have not believed in cunningly devised fables. But Father, we are literally seeing the things that you shared with us over 2,000 years ago coming to pass before our very eyes. We want to thank you for Bible prophecy. We understand and we know that Christ is at the very center of Bible prophecy, and he has given these prophecies to us that we may be sure in his word, in his promises, prepare ourselves for his soon return and to prepare others as well. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Harley here. We pray that you'll bless him in his ministry and all the different hats that he wears in sharing the good news of the gospel. Bless his family, his wife, his children, his boys. Bless them until we meet again. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And remember, folks, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up. Until next week.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Your